Morning.
Morning, everyone. Okay, starting with Jewish time today. And we're starting with Seder Moed, with Simcha that we finished Zroim. And we're learning in memory of Yosef Binyamin ben Nachum Mendel. Also like to learn in memory of Rafael Hananya Levi ben Israel Zissel, a young boy who Nebuch died of a brain tumor some years ago. Very dear, dear tzaddik, and I'd like to recall his memory today. Okay, so Maseches Shabbos is 24 prakim, so that's quite a bit for a few minutes that we have. And like other Masechtos and Seder Moed, Maseches Shabbos begins with some pre-Shabbos issues, like Maseches Yuma begins with the week before Yom Kippur. Maseches Sukkah begins with building the sukkah before sukkahs, right? So a lot of these mesechtes tell you how to prepare. Meseches Pesachim begins with the preparation of Pesach, of how to be rid of the chametz. So too, Meseches Shabbos should really begin with the second perek, which is the laws of candle lighting. But the first perek, Tosfos explains, sticks in some laws of carrying for two reasons. One, because people thought that carrying was what they call malacha gerua. It's such a non-malacha. What is carrying? I'm not changing the status of this thing. I'm just changing the domain of it, moving it from here to there. How does that violate Shabbos? So it's interesting because the prophets, Yirmiyahu and Nehemiah, both rail against the people for what they're carrying on Shabbos. So it seems like they're going to the market or some or other things like that. So also carrying is a preparation of Shabbos. We have to check our pockets to make sure we're not carrying, right? That's in the first parak. And we have to make sure that whatever we need for Shabbos is where we want it to be. We'll learn the next Tuesday about Erevin and what to do to connect to domains, and that will be a mitzvah next time. So the second parak is about the candle lighting, which is also preparatory. And the third and fourth parak is about preparing food for Shabbos, which is also before Shabbos. So the first four prakim are not on Shabbos, but the things we need to do to make sure that we have everything we need for Shabbos. So the third parak is talks about shehiya and chazara, the way we can leave food on a blech, or how to make sure it's warm at the beginning of Shabbos, and how actually to have warm lunch in the afternoon as well. And the fourth parak is called lamet tomnin, which is the laws of keeping things warm, and there are a number of restrictions on these things. For us, we shouldn't see the fire. We shouldn't see the element that keeps the warmth, and the things that move the fire, make it higher or lower, should be covered so that we don't come to inadvertently light the fire or enhance the fire or diminish the fire in any way. The next two chapters are back to carrying, and the fifth chapter refers to the way our animals shouldn't carry. And the sixth chapter is called the Ma'isha, which talks about jewelries and other garments, some of which are not considered carrying because it's a malbush. Certainly, wearing a jacket is not malbush. But sometimes if you drape it over your shoulders in a certain way, or you just drape it across your waist in a certain way, then it's not the usual way of wearing it. So the Gemara there talks about these things, and that's the sixth parak. The seventh parak, finally, we get up to what's called Klal Gadol, which teaches us some generalities of laws of Shabbos and lists the 39 melachos. All 39 waits till the seventh chapter. It's interesting, in the Rambam Hilchos Shabbos, also in the seventh chapter, he lists the 39 melachos. It's a very interesting difference between the two is that in the Mishnah, it's ha-zoreya, ha-choresh, right? The one who does these things. In the Rambam, he lists them as the action. Zriya, Harisha, Ktsira, Tchina, Breira. He lists them as the action. It's a little complicated, but I'll say it simply because the Rambam Paskin's Malacha Shina Tzricha Lagufa is Chayev. If you do the Malacha, the actual thing that's forbidden, but you don't do it for its normal reason, the classical case in the Gemara is Chofer Ve'enu Tzarech Ela La'afra. He digs a pit, which is one of the forbidden subcategories. It's a told of choresh, of plowing, and you dig a pit into the ground, but you don't want the pit, you just want the dirt. So that's called malacha. You did the malacha. She'ein etzricha legufa. We happen to paskin like Rav Shimon that does not trigger a chiyuv of punishments or a korban if you did it by mistake. So we paskin that way, but the Rambam paskins malacha she'ein etzricha legufa is chayav. What difference does it make whether he wants the pit or he wants the dirt? He dug a pit. He dug a pit. So it's chayav. So that's why the Rambam lists the 39 melachos as the action. It's the action that counts, not the intention. But we paskin melachas machsheves asra Torah, that it's a matter of, since Shabbos commemorates the creation of the world and is determined by the actions that went into building the Mishkan, the 39 actions. So therefore, it depends on what's more important than the actual action is the intention. Okay. Back to carrying in the 8th parak, Hamotzi Yayin, which teaches that everything that's forbidden to carry on Shabbos, everything has a different shear. Depends on what you're carrying. If you're carrying coriander seeds, the shear for carrying might be different than if you're carrying bricks, right? And if you're carrying diamonds, might have a different shear than carrying rocks, right? Everything has its own shear. And that's the last mission in this parak derives something about glass shards from a pasuk. And therefore, the whole ninth parak in Masechet Shabbos has nothing to do whatsoever. It's called Parak Amar Rabbi Akiva. Nothing to do with Shabbos at all. Just cases where we derive teachings from out of the way Pesukim. Since the last mission in the eighth parak talks about a pasuk in Yeshayahu, which teaches a particular rule, so the whole ninth parak, it's such a disparity of laws. Kilayim, especially very famous Agadita about Mamad Har Sinai, and some laws in Hilchos Nida, really all over the place. It's called Perak Amar Rabbi Akiva. There's a Perak in Maseches Sota like this also, and it's also things that Rabbi Akiva taught. So it's very interesting how Rabbi Akiva gets tangential chapters stuffed into a whole Masechta having nothing to do with the Masechta at all. Back to chapter 10, it's called Perak HaMatznia, back to carrying, and that even though some the various items have different shiurim, a person can, by hiding something, give his own shiur to it and his own definition based on that he hides it. Whether that applies to other people as well is discussed in that chapter. Chapter 11 teaches the laws of throwing things and how throwing something might be like carrying it. If you notice, so far, the first 11 chapters, more than half of them have to do with carrying, right? So we have to take that very seriously. Chapter 12 is called Perak HaBona, which teaches the laws of building and writing. Tosfos discusses the order of these chapters because they don't seem to be in the order of the 39 Melachos in the 7th Perak. There are four different categories of what's forbidden there. First 11 have to do with preparation of food, right? Then the next set has to do with preparation of skins and things that are made for clothing and curtains. Then the next set has to do with leather works that are usually used to make shoes. For the Mishkan, it had multiple purposes, but for us, for our usages, you see the trend so far. Food, clothing, shoes, and the fourth set is building structures. These are the foundations of what human beings need. No animal needs these things. No animal processes food. They just eat what's there in the field for them. No animal wears clothes. No animal wears shoes. And no animal builds a place. Maybe a bird builds a nest, you can say. But they don't build structures like we have. They live out wherever they live. God has prepared everything animals need for them. Only humans have to do all this work to get our food and process clothing and process shoes and process building a living quarters. So Shabbos speaks to the dignity of man. Right? In Egypt, we had to do all these things for others. So that's why Yetzias Mitzrayim was also, we consider Shabbos, when we make Kiddush, to be Zechel Etzias Mitzrayim, not just Zechel Amasa Bereshis. Okay, the remaining chapters, 13, talks about weaving and sewing. Chapter 14 speaks about the animals and their skins, and that if, we're not allowed to to draw blood from animals on Shabbos, not allowed to do shechita on Shabbos because their skin is the Mishnah is there. It's called Shmona Shrotzim. Talks about which animals have skin that if we draw blood from it, it's like shechita, and which animals not. 15th chapter talks about the knots that we're allowed to tie. Which ways are we allowed to tie? Which ways are we not allowed to tie? It's called Eluk Sharim. 16th chapter is a very fascinating chapter. It's called Kol Kisvei. And it teaches us a lot of the laws of Tanakh, because the books of Tanakh have special rules about how we're allowed to save them from a fire or the like. And in this chapter, there's just so much you can teach on this topic. There's a lot of beautiful agadita about Shal Shudas, about the three meals and the mun and tangential agadita on that. The 17th parak continues because the 16th parak ends with describing some of the kalim we're allowed to save from a fire, and therefore a lot of laws of mukta. And to be sure, some of the earlier chapters also had laws of mukta, and which will continue into Maseches Beitza. We'll see next time, and a few weeks from now. And then the 18th parak talks about parak mafanin, which is the things you're allowed to move to clear a way for Talmud Torah or for guests. And things that might be muktzah or might be a little tircha on this chapter right away moves into beautiful agadot about hachnasas orchim and inviting company. And the 19th parak is all about the laws of bris mila on Shabbos, parak Rabbi Elazar de Mila. The 20th parak is called parak tolin, some of the laws of breira and tchina and things that we select from one thing to another and making wine and dregs of wine and all those kind of things. The next chapter is called Notel, more laws of Mukta. And Chavis is the next chapter, which is ways of certain laws about procuring food and some of the other tangential issues of not squeezing out certain things from fruits. And the last two chapters are called Shoel and Mishekshich. Shoel are things about borrowing on Shabbos, and Mishekshich is some of the laws about if it's interesting, it goes full circle because the Masechta ends. What happens if you have you're carrying burdens right before Shabbos, and you see that the sun is setting? What do? You're on a train, you're on a donkey, you're in a car, and so the Masechta ends back towards the beginning of Shabbos, and that's called Mishekshich. Okay, we just went through the 24 chapters of Maseches Shabbos, and the Masechta really speaks to the dignity of mankind by connecting creation to the building of the Mishkan, to the creativity of the human being along the lines of what God created, and we refrain from that creativity. It's not labor. Malacha does not mean labor. Malacha is related to the word malach, meaning angel. And we become a little bit of an angel when we observe Shabbos, which is why Shabbos begins by inviting angels to the Shabbos table. But then we invite them to leave because it's not fair that they should watch us eat because they don't eat. All right, so that's wrapping up Shabbos. It's Hashem on Tuesday. We'll continue with Erevin, and I look forward to seeing you then. Have a great Shabbos, everybody.